This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Fama badu, peace be upon all of you. That greeting in Arabic is assalamu alaykum. That greeting in Hebrew is Shalom Aleichem. And I can't speak Greek, so I don't know the Greek part of it, but it means peace be upon you. It's the same greeting for all the three Abrahamic religions. What you just heard was the ayat. The actual translation of the word ayah is sign. Unfortunately, in English, we mistranslate and we say verses. There are no verses in the Quran because the Quran is not a book of verse. It's not a book of poetry. The Quran is a book of ayat. It's a book of signs. And we call them signs because this is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, God Almighty, which you just heard. The voice was the voice of Sheikh Abdul Al-Khulti. But the speech, the actual words, are the actual words of God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, preserved and recorded and kept for now 14 plus centuries without any alteration or any change. I think it's something to reflect on. And that is why the Quran is so holy for Muslims. And that is why when people say, why can't you change the Quran? Since I'm an author, I said there are copyright issues. Because you are not the author. You're not the author. You can't even change a book of mine. How will you change the book of God? It's as simple as that. Talking about Ramadan al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, mentioned for us the reason why He sent Ramadan. And he said, which means, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumu siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Which means, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed on those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. Muttaqoon is pious. It means somebody who is conscious of the presence of God in his life or her life, and does their best to please their Creator in all that they say, do, and how they act. The people before you refers obviously to the Jewish people and to the Christians, and it refers to practically every religion that is practiced in the world, because fasting is there in some form or the other in all the religions. Taqwa is the fundamental philosophy of Islam. Taqwa is the consciousness, as I mentioned, of God's presence in our life. What does that do? The first and most important thing it does is that it gives us tremendous comfort and tremendous confidence. Because if the Creator of the heavens and the earth is with me 24/7, real time, watching me, listening to me, able to understand what I say no matter which language I speak, because He's my Creator and He's the Creator of all languages, and able to help me, then it gives me tremendous confidence and it gives me tremendous comfort. It also is a shield against all forms of disobedience of God Almighty, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if I'm aware and conscious that He is with me, then obviously I do not disobey Him. This is the fundamental reason for Ramadan. Ramadan, for example, didn't come for you to lose weight or for somebody to know how the hungry people in India feel. You know, I mean, you're looking at a hungry person in India, I need to lose weight. So that's not for those reasons. It is to make us conscious of our Creator and His presence in our life. Now, question is, why must you care? I mean, so what? So what if I'm aware of Allah's presence in my life or not? And that is because of another fundamental principle of Islam, which is the principle of resurrection after we die. Once again, common principle in all the religions. Death, as we know it, is not the cessation of life. It is the transfer from one form of life, from one world into another world. And that is why in Urdu we use this term intiqal. We say intiqal is muntaqil huna, going from one place to another place. If I go from this room to another room, I am making intiqal from this room to that room. I have not ceased to exist. Similarly, when we die, we do not cease to exist. We just change the form in which we exist. We exist in this shape and form in this life. When we go into the next life, the shape and form changes. We continue. And that is irrespective of how that death happens and comes to us. Whether I just drop dead now, or whether it happens and may Allah protect us from all forms of illnesses and pain and so on and so forth in a hospital, whether I meet a 16-wheeler and I become a permanent part of the front grill, or whether I meet Mr. Putin and I am vaporized, irrespective of that, right? We will be resurrected. And the simplest question, if somebody says, well, how am I going to be resurrected if I meet Mr. Putin and I get vaporized? Well, before you met Mr. Putin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you when you didn't exist. So how much more difficult can it be to recreate you once you have already existed? So it's as simple as that. Why all of this? Why God consciousness? Why all of this? Because the purpose of the Muslim, and obviously this is the purpose obviously of everybody, but definitely of the Muslim, is to be beneficial to everyone who he or she comes into contact with. Whether they are human, whether they are not human, the environment, the water, the air, the people, the land, the birds and the beasts, every single one, the most beneficial. Rasulullah, our Prophet said, the best of people is the one who is the most beneficial to the people. And that is why being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives makes us think about how can I benefit others. So in short, the purpose of the Muslim is to benefit others. So if you find a Muslim who's not being beneficent, who's not benefiting people, who's not being beneficent to others, then you need to remind them and say, excuse me, you are a Muslim. Right? Why are you being toxic? This is not your religion. Your religion is to benefit people. And if you are being toxic, then you are going against your religion. So wake up. As I mentioned to you, in Islam, we have the concept that we have two lives. Now, this is not some kind of schizophrenia. Two lives meaning this life here, which has an effect in the life to come. For example, Rasulullah ﷺ said, a smile is sadaqah. Sadaqah is charity. He said, if you smile at another person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that smile. Now, you might say, how do I do that with a mask? Believe me, the true smile comes in. You see, you put a mask and you see the smile in the eyes. The smile is always in the eyes anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's not the teeth. Human beings are the only species which bears its teeth when they are happy. Do you know this? I mean, this everyone else, when they bear their teeth, if you see a lion, he bears his teeth. Oh my God, this lion loves me. No, he does. He loves you in a different way. He's looking. He loves you in a very different way. All right. Now, Ramadan is to reiterate this relationship between this life and that life. So why do I take, within quotes, pain? Frankly, fasting, especially in the winter in America, is fun. There's no pain involved. Real fasting is in the Middle East, is in tropical countries in the summer. There it is very hot, very, very hot, and it is tough. But here it's fun. But point being, irrespective of that, why take pain? For the same reason you do that in the gym. No pain, no gain. So we take pain to build the life in the hereafter. To the extent to which the life in the hereafter is real for us, to that extent we take pain. Now the pain in the fasting is no eating, no drinking, I think I have a slide on that. So yeah, there you go. Ramadan itself is the ninth month of the Hijri calendar. We go by the moon calendar, by the lunar calendar. Fasting is between dawn and dusk from Kansi to Kansi, and in that period there is no food, no drink, and no physical relationship with your spouse. I'm trying to find something which has more than three letters. And then we have special night prayers, which we call Taraweeh. So after the Isha Salah, we have, and that's why Sheikh Abdullah Al-Khulti, may Allah bless him, is here with us. And we get, Ramadan is the month of the Quran, so we get to listen to some beautiful, beautiful recitation. And of course, I must welcome all of you. All of you are welcome, irrespective, you're Muslim, non-Muslim, most welcome. Please come to the mosque. And you can sit, and don't think that if you are there, you're locked in for the whole year, for the whole time. No, we'll put you in a place where you can escape quietly without, without getting into trouble. So, but do most welcome, please come and listen to some beautiful recitation of the Quran. Then in the last 10 nights or last 10 days, we do a retreat. I think many of my Catholic friends will know, because there is a concept of retreat in Catholicism as well. But we do a retreat, and so we literally confine ourselves in the masjid. We don't leave the masjid. We stay in the masjid and we try and worship and read Quran and so on as much as we can. And obviously we are fasting during that period as well. So that's the last 10 days. And then there is, of course, Eid. And Eid al-Fitr is where we dress up and we pray and we give a lot of charity and we eat a lot of nice food and we meet all our friends and so on and so forth. So that's the fun part of it. The purpose of all of this is to become muttaqun, is to make the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala real in our lives. What does that mean? It means to bring about behavioral change in ourselves. What is it that I'm doing today that I need to change? That is what happens in Ramadan. That's why I call Ramadan the behavior boot camp, behavioral change boot camp. So you go in one way and you come out of that in a better way. Now, why do we need to do all of this? Because we love Allah. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than we love anyone else. And we know that Allah loves us. And that is why He gave us Islam. That is why He gave us Ramadan. That is why He blessed us in many, many, many ways that He blessed us. And so though, therefore we try to live in a way that pleases Him. Now what is, as I said, what is fasting in Islam? I've done all that. Interestingly, one of the big elements of Ramadan is charity. Not only zakat. Zakat is the, in Islam, we have compulsory charity, which is 2.5% of your wealth, savings. It's not an income tax, it's a savings, wealth tax. 2.5% of that. Somebody did an estimate last year, and they said that Muslims globally give out over $1 trillion in charity every year. And that's a nice piece of money. So this is hugely encouraged, and this is something which gives us benefit in the hereafter as well. As I said, it's fasting is also a completely behavior change boot camp, meaning no profanity and backbiting and so on and so forth. Now, this does not mean that all of this is halal and permissible outside of Ramadan. Only in Ramadan you can't do it. No, all of this is not permissible anyway. But Ramadan is the time where you get to consciously practice that with the intention of carrying forward. So going out of Ramadan also, no profanity, no backbiting, no slandering. You might say, well, you know, what about my social life? Well, we need to change the social life. Talk about something other than that. I think that's it. People who pray together stay together, and that's what Ramadan is there for us to do. I love these pictures of little children. This little girl, she brought her grandfather to the prayer, and this is in the Grand Mosque in Kuwait. So you can see how she's very proudly, he's praying behind her, and she's very proud about that. The picture on the top left corner is the big masjid in Bhopal in India. The one on the corner, bottom corner there is the mosque of the education city mosque in Qatar, very beautiful building, and those two, they're not minarets, they're actually supposed to depict the two hands up like this, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying. And this, the picture next to that, is one I took in 2019 when I was in Qatar, and that was the Eid prayer there. So that's those are pictures. Ramadan is also eating together, which is suhoor and iftar. This is from my mosque in India, where they're all, as you can see, eating a lot of nice good food. And which brings me to the end of my talk, and that is, Ramadan is for what comes after Ramadan. What comes after Ramadan? Life. So Ramadan is to make sure that what comes after Ramadan is a life which is positive, which is beneficial to everybody, which is happy, which is stress-free, because we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will end with this, and I must thank you all very much for being here. We've got all of you. I'm so happy to see so many, so many of my friends. Some of you I have difficulty recognizing because I'm seeing you without a mask. I mean, you know, will you please put on your mask so I can recognize? Yeah, okay, right. Now I know who you are. Thank you very much. It's literally become like that. Thank you very much. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.